Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of October 15, 2021. This week we pray for the faith to follow Christ around the world, for those facing vaccine injuries and other ailments. Our first reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 to 20. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listen. For we who have believed enter that rest as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying, through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. In our gospel reading is from the 10th chapter of St. Mark. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The reading for our discussion comes from Exodus chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day," as when there was straw. And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past?" Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There are times when a person comes up to you and may act very familiar. They may know you from seeing you speaking or possibly from social media. Yet, in spite of their familiarity, you may not know who they are. Some folks are really good at recognizing other people and others just are not. I can recognize people I've seen in a drive-thru or working in a store, and when I see them in public out of their typical element, I start shuffling through my mind. Where have I seen this person before? When we are born into this world, we become accustomed to our parents quite quickly, and from a very early age, we know we want to stay with one or the other. To a large extent, our knowledge of God is a learned thing. God is our Heavenly Father, and yet there is a disconnection. You know what it is like to have something disconnected. Your computer is not connected to your Wi-Fi, and it can be maddening to go through all the steps to figure out why it's not working. Sometimes you go to turn on an appliance and you're getting frustrated until you realize, sheepishly, that it's unplugged. And then you think how silly that was. In a way, you too were disconnected. In the glorious Garden of Eden, mankind had a connection with God that was unlike the current world. In that world, Adam walked in the Garden of Eden with God. He walked with the Creator of the world and had contact with Him. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit that God told them not to eat, that was a switch that turned off our connection with God. Their disobedience separated them from God. That was a decision that they made. They had a decision to do that or not to do that. And they decided that they wanted to be like gods. That introduced the human condition. Today we live in a world where we know there are people that want to be like gods. It's absolutely true. Such people do not love God or desire to follow Him. Do not desire to follow His Son. They desire to have control. They desire to lord it over us. Some people are serious busybodies, aren't they? They don't just want to look after their own lives and mind their own business. They don't want people to have freedom for themselves and their families. They want to control them. Adam and Eve sought control. Have you ever wanted to control everything in your life? You can't do it, can you? It's impossible. To understand that you're not in control requires a heaping dose of humility. You cannot and will not be God of anything. Not God of this world or anything beyond it, not God of yourself or others. You entered this world helpless and dependent, owning nothing, and you will leave this world in the same fashion. The big question for all is what comes next. And the truth is that there really is a God, and our God intends to separate those who believe in Him from those who do not believe. And for those who believe, they will enter into the Lord's kingdom. So who is this God? And how do we have a connection with God? How are we reconnected with Him when we were separated from Him at the creation? The God who created the world is eternal, is all-powerful, present everywhere, all-seeing, righteous, and holy. There is no other God. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit in the garden, they faced punishment for their disobedience. They were cast out of the garden and separated from God. There would be great pain in bearing children, and the ground would produce its share of thorns and thistles. Adam would have to work by the sweat of his brow, and the work would be hard. Even when separated from God, the people of the world longed for a connection with God, even though they did not know Him, and even though they had darkened hearts. God has planted the seeds of eternity in us. He has planted the seeds of knowledge in Him in us. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. Unbelief and enmity with God, these are taught attitudes, just like any bad habit. Think of Cain's enmity with God and the descendants of Cain. It is the same in the post-flood world. Yet for those who are open, there is this spark of divine knowledge and longing for God planted in us. Then the Father sent his Son Jesus into the world to be our light in the darkness, and finally his Holy Spirit to give us faith. Throughout Scripture, God kept humanity's knowledge of himself going in the times of Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and now in the time of Moses. Moses goes to the children of Israel and he goes to Pharaoh. We have learned who this God is. He reveals himself as we heard in Exodus chapter 3. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" God's description of himself is profound in a way that a human could not come up with. He does not have some random name like Bob or Fred. His name means, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." Simply, "I am." God is, was, and ever will be a symbol of his eternity. Is the circle. The circle has no beginning and no end. And our God has eternal intentions for us. Pharaoh is a follower of other gods. They're not other gods, it's just that people from time immemorial have been confused into believing in false gods. These gods cannot help them. They're gods of wood or stone or metal. Now, the devil has also used these subterfuges to divide and destroy mankind. Pharaoh was a representative of the serpent. Look at Pharaoh's decorative helmet, and you can see, just like in the Greek culture, it is apparent that in the Egyptian culture, the serpent was mistakenly seen as the enlightener. That is man's version of the history of the world. That is the serpent's version. God's version of this history is to be found in Genesis chapter 3, where we learn about the fall, and that it was the serpent who tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned. Jesus says of the devil, John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, the context is he was speaking to his detractors who were trying to trap him. We have a hard time believing that there really is evil in the world. We deny it. The unbeliever would say there is neither bad nor good, which allows evil people to shrug off the most evil of designs. Evil has no regard for the preciousness of human life. Pharaoh has no regard for Israel's plight. He has already set out to lower their population since he has it in for them. He doesn't care about human life. Like Pharaoh, in modern history, there are those who have not cared one whit for human life, seeing humanity as more than capital and cattle. These include the leaders of various socialist and communist regimes throughout history, who took the lives of millions with no remorse or regret, and who put others to suffer in horrendous gulags. They're the modern purveyors of slavery and endless abortion factories and medical malfeasance. The masses are an inconvenience to them. Just like in the time of Noah, their violence is grievous to God, who has created and sustained all life. For we are His. All life is His. We belong to the God who is. Pharaoh does not know God. He knows his gods who are not gods at all. But he does not know the God of the Hebrews. In his cruel treatment of the children of Israel, he's about to find out. Moses is upset that the people haven't been delivered as of yet. Not only will God deliver Israel, there's coming a time when God is going to deliver the people of the world who believe in Him. God's name means I am. So when Jesus says at various times, I am, He is saying that He is God. Our God loves us. He sent His Son for the life of the world, to save those who believe in Jesus out of sin and death. When the temple curtain was torn in two at the time of the crucifixion, it signified that God was no longer separated from the people, as the disobedience of Adam and Eve produced. Now through Jesus, humanity shares a reunion with God, and those who believe in Jesus will be saved. This is God's promise to us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, you gave your life for the life of the world. Help us throughout our lives to love and trust in you forever. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, you give us faith through your Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit throughout the world that you may bring all who are open to you to yourself. Let the people of the world not harden their hearts, but to ever find more faith in you, that they might believe and be saved in Jesus. Be with people everywhere who are dealing with vaccine injuries, and help those who are dealing with any undue mandates, directives, or any kind of coercion that is against their conscience. Help people everywhere who look to you to know freedom and peace in you, and to know that in your Son, Jesus Christ, all are set free from sin and death. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our verses of the week come from Mark chapter 10, verses 24 through 27. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." All of our readings come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, obey my love to thee. Pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Mid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold soul and stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above.